Y'all that singing tonight, say amen. Take the Bible and turn it to Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12, just a simple little thought tonight. I know it's been a long week for most of you. It's been a really long one for me. And I'm tired and ready to chill out. But we don't want to leave out the Word of God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Let me just say, thank God for the Bible. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. Without it, we'd still be on our way to hell. Without this book, we wouldn't know Jesus died in our place. Amen. And we take it for granted. I wish sometime you could hear from some of the missionaries in some of these other countries how the Bible is cherished. How rare and how scarce it is. How hard it is to get their hands on a copy of the Word of God in their language. And we've got them all over the house. There's probably two or three in the pulpit that don't even know who they belong to. Thank God for His Word. Amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter number 12 tonight. Y'all there say amen. Acts chapter number 12. I love this chapter. I love this story. The Bible said in verse number 1, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And you see, we think we got it back. I'm so tired of hearing Christians complain. I'm going to read on in a minute that you and I have nothing to complain about. You listen to the radio and you get around different people and they talk about how bad the times are. Not as bad as you think. Had none of my preacher friends been killed here lately for preaching the gospel. I don't agree with our president on just about anything. But he hadn't sent out a decree to vex or persecute certain of the church. As God's children in 2016, we haven't made.
Amen.
I wonder if, as soft as we've become, if we could even live in these kind of days. Today, you got to be careful just about every little thing you say in the pulpit will offend somebody. I didn't say anything harsh this morning. And a visitor walked out and shook my hand, Brother Adam. He said, I can't believe what I just heard. I thought, uh-oh, here we go. I said, did I offend you? He said, no, sir. He said, I can't believe I heard a man of God with enough backbone to tell the truth.
Amen.
I thank him, gave him $10 and sent him on his way. But you've got to be careful. You're going to offend this group or offend that group. I believe if there's waiting outside with a sword to chop our heads off, you wouldn't be so sensitive.
Oh, yes.
I ain't got any in my notes. Let me move on. Where did I stop? Verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Tonight I want to talk to you just for a minute about what we might learn from a jail cell. What we might learn from a jail cell. I don't think Peter was a man of great stature. I don't think he was a man of great strength or anything like Samson. But there must have been something to it.
Because
when they locked him up, they assigned four quadrants of soldiers to watch him. You know how many that is? That's 16. 16 soldiers to guard one man. I'm thinking, why? They must have been scared to death of him. They must have been a little bit afraid of Peter.
Amen.
They might have been a little bit of apprehensive, saying, hey, you better watch that guy. Stuff happens when he gets around.
Yeah.
So they put him in jail and put 16 soldiers to watch him. What did they put him in jail for? Preaching. My stepbrother, back when he was younger, robbed a store at gunpoint. And they put him in jail, and he went to prison. Some preacher came by the prison and was preaching, and old Kurt got on fire for God. And I got one of them collect calls from the prison. It was Kurt. And he said, man, I'm just like the Apostle Paul. I said, no, you ain't. I said, he went to jail for preaching. You went for robbing the store. That's two different things, amen. Two different things. In this chapter, we're seeing the gospel going to begin to start going out to the Gentile. But in the beginning of our chapter, we're going to look down through this chapter right here for a few minutes tonight. We see Peter being persecuted for the cause of Christ. Now let me say there are many advantages to being a child of God.
Amen.
Going to heaven when I die, that's on top of the list.
Amen.
But there are many advantages to being a child of God.
Amen.
And I thought about it today. I wonder, is there any disadvantages? Well, it got quiet. I'd say there are. I've had people tell me I had less trouble before I got saved than since I got saved. Some of these guys on TV, like, I won't name any names, but I'll give you his initials, Joel Osteen. These gospel perverts.
Yeah, right. Yes,
false prophets.
Yes,
they don't say anything wrong.
That's right.
It ain't what they say. It's what they don't say.
Amen.
They've got people convinced that if they will follow them and they'll send money to their organization, they won't have any more problems. I wish it were that so. I wish I could tell you if you'll give a good offering, God's going to bless you to death. I'm going to give whether he blesses me or not.
Amen.
He's already been too good to me. If he never did another thing for me, I couldn't say a word. Because he's done more already than I ever deserved.
Amen.
You ever got in a place of having a pity party and thought, I don't deserve this? Come on, talk to me. Have you ever got there and you thought, man, I didn't do anything to deserve this. I've come under attack. I've come under persecution. I didn't do anything to deserve this. Think very carefully about what you're saying. Think about what you really deserve. We deserve hell, and anything above that is a blessing.
Yeah.
I want you to notice tonight that God's people do have some restrictions. It ain't always wonderful. It ain't always mountaintops and shouting. Are you listening to me? And many people think it's so. I remember the night I got saved. New Year's Eve. We got home in the wee hours of the morning. I laid down in my bed and staring at the ceiling, so excited I couldn't go to sleep. I literally felt 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And here's what I said to myself. Wow, I'll never sin again. That's what I thought. I felt so pure and clean. I thought, man, I'm just never going to sin again. Life is going to be grand from here on out. I'm never going to have any more problems. And then I woke up Monday. And found out that what I thought I had wasn't all I thought it was. I ain't saying salvation ain't all that. It is.
Amen.
I found out I ain't all that.
Amen.
I found out there's just a part of me that got saved. There's a part of me that didn't get saved. My soul got saved, but my flesh did not get saved. Are you listening? We're in the dawning and the early age of the New Testament church. God's moving, God's saving. Peter's preached a couple of chapters ago, and thousands of people got saved. Wouldn't that be amazing? I get excited to go to some of these meetings where I get to see 20 or 30 saved. That's exciting to me. I love it, man. I love it when I get to see double digits. I love it when I get to see one. But, buddy, when it gets into 10, 12, 15, 20, 25 in one service getting saved, man, hallelujah. Can you imagine 3,000 people getting saved? Woo! The Bible said the Lord was adding to the church daily. I mean, this was a time of blessing. This is a great time to be a child of God. And Peter gets thrown in jail. For what? Preaching. Serving God. People get the idea that when they get saved, all their problems are solved. By the way, your biggest problem was solved. Amen. When you got saved, your biggest problem was solved, and that was eternity. I am going to heaven when I die. But between here and there, there are going to be some difficult days. And there are going to be some hard times. In some ways, becoming a child of God is the beginning of our trouble. Y'all got quiet. Let me explain. You've got a brand new enemy that you never had before. We talk about the devil and act about the devil like he's some fictional cartoon character. But he's real. And he's in. Destroy your children and destroy your church. He's wicked as all wickedness itself. He's a liar and the father of it, and I hate his guts. Before you were saved, the Bible said the devil was your father. He didn't have an ought with you. He didn't have a bone to pick with you. Because you were on his side. But when you got saved, according to Romans, we got adopted whereby we cry, Abba Father. We got a new father, and we ditched our old father. And he's not one little bit happy about it. We had trouble here and there the last few weeks, and I thought, yep, camp meeting's coming. The Lord's fixing to move, and the Lord's fixing to bless, and the devil's fighting with everything he's got. We have an enemy, and it is the devil. And sad to say, he's more faithful to church than some of y'all. He shows up every service. Amen. He shows up in a wagging tongue. He shows up in an evil thought. He shows up in a bitter heart. He never misses a service. He's here tonight. He don't like what we're doing. We just need to get out of la-la land and quit being so shocked when difficulty comes. I can't believe this is happening to me. People say that to me all the time. Not just happening to you. It's happening to everybody. We read the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Your difficulty ain't something that the devil just made up yesterday. Somebody's been through it. Somebody's going through it. It's not unique to you. But I'm glad he went on to say in that verse, but God is what? Anybody remember? Faithful. But God is faithful. What's the next part? Say it, just read it. Will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
That's right.
Why? God knows your ability. God knows how much you can take. Have you ever looked at somebody's life and thought, I just don't see how they can take anymore? God knows what they can take.
Amen.
God knows what I can take. I'm glad he's faithful. Amen. It gets a little tougher after you get saved. I know this ain't a shout-or out message tonight. It gets a little tough after you get saved because we've got a new enemy the devil, according to 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's you. And that's me. God has chosen trials for us as a means of growth. I didn't have them kind of trials before. God allows us to go through trials and testing, not to break us and not to hurt us, but to build us up. My faith grows through every trial. I trust God more and more through every single trial. I started out way back under some 30-odd years ago, down the road down here, not maybe 20, 30 years from the end, but now looking back on everything. Some of those trials to find out how good God is.
Yes, sir.
Brother Todd Ashley and them sing that song, and I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it says something, when I first started out, I didn't really trust Him.
Yes, sir.
I didn't really trust Him.
Amen.
But now I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough.
Yes, sir.
You say, preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand that He's enough. You say, preacher, I got a situation. Well, here's a God for your situation. And He's bigger than anything that can go on in our life. He's bigger than anything the devil sends our way. Thank God our God is big enough. We got saved. We got a new enemy. God has chosen trials as a means for our growth. He's chosen trials as a basis for our rewards. Persecution comes with faith in Christ. Some of y'all probably got family members that behind your back say you're a religious fanatic.
Amen.
And you're a nut. And you come down here and joined up with this cult.
Amen. Amen, brother.
I ain't ever figured that out. Well, I thought about other churches call us a cult.
Yeah.
Janet Reno said years ago, I'm not Brother Spartan, that tasted bad. Janet Reno said years ago that a cult, here's how she defined it, was anybody who believed in Christian education and the imminent return of Jesus Christ. I thought, well, I guess we all. According to her, God's people have some restrictions. In other words, we're going to come against stuff as a child of God. Expect it, count on it, and again, I want to repeat myself from this morning, but don't quit in the middle of it. Don't quit in the middle of it. Don't quit just before the victory comes. Don't quit just before the answer to that prayer comes. Don't ever stop. Keep pressing on. Paul and Silas found themselves right where Peter was. In the innermost part of that prison. Just like Peter being guarded by soldiers at midnight. They didn't whine and they didn't complain. I hate it when we have a testimony service and people are getting up and bragging on God. And somebody always has to do it. Get up and go, man, 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 man. They've been beaten, chained up. What they do? They start singing and praising God.
Amen.
The best thing you can do in your difficulty, in your dilemma, and when you come up against those hard times, you just start singing and praising God.
Amen.
You know what He'll do? He'll show up.
Amen.
He might only not just show up, He might show out.
Amen.
Amen. I love it when the Lord shows out.
Amen.
Paul and Silas started singing and praising God, and God, that was the first jailhouse rock. God shook the doors off of that place. Scared that jailer so bad he was fixing to fall on his soul. My I'll never forget what Paul said. He said, chill out, man. That's, you got to go to Bible school to get that. That's in your brain. He said, chill out, man. We're all here. He said, whoa. What must I do? He said.
Yeah. Amen.
That guy knew that this was a God situation. This wasn't your average prison breakout. They didn't somebody bake them an apple pie with a file in it. God showed up. I said God showed up. God showed up when? In the midst of their singing and praising Him. I ain't never heard Him show up in a bunch of whining. Now listen, I'm as prone to it as you are. Gripe. Gripe when it's hot. Gripe when it's cold. Gripe when it's dry. Gripe when it's wet. Some of y'all gripe today. I cannot believe He preached that long. Believe it. Just believe it, amen. Believe it. Check your watch. Tell them a time or two. Make sure it's still ticking. Amen. I could take a survey tonight. How many of you are too cold? Someone to raise your hand. How many of you too hot? Someone to raise your hand. I'd say switch places. Amen. We ain't got much to complain about. I'm not in a prison cell tonight. But when my difficulties and my dilemmas come, Lord, help me to sing Your praise. Oh, it's easy when there's money in the bank. Help anybody. It's easy when you and the wife's getting along real good and the kids are behaving. Boy, when trouble comes. Y'all remember what my little granny used to say? Well, just praise God anyway.
Right.
Amen. We learn from the jail that our lives are not going to be without restriction. But as those restrictions come, according to verse number 5, we have a recourse. We've got more than one, but we have a recourse. There is something you and I can do when trouble comes that the world can't do. There's something you and I have the privilege of that the world can't do. By the way, they have trouble too. That's why Oprah and Dr. Phil are still in business. That's why the pharmaceutical companies are making millions off of antidepressants. Because they have trouble too.
Yes,
sir. I'm glad according to verse number 5, we have recourse when the restrictions come. The Bible said Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I like that. The Bible said prayer was made without ceasing unto God for him. They were praying on Peter's behalf. They were intervening on Peter's behalf. They were locked up in a house saying, oh God, our brother's in jail. God, we need you to move. But I'm glad it didn't just say they prayed. It said they prayed without ceasing. They didn't give up till they got an answer. By the way, they didn't even want to quit when the answer came. We pray about something and forget it. We need to pray without ceasing. Till we see the answer come. We need to pray like we did for Fred Young. 20 some odd years before he got saved. Then a week later went home to be with heaven. I believe God was answering some faithful prayer, some continual prayer. We have a recourse. Hey, you say, that don't sound like that. Hey, man, prayer is mightier than the atomic bomb. Prayer can move mountains. Prayer can save nations. Prayer can save marriages. Prayer can save churches from going through splits and troubles. Yet, that's where we fail the most.
Yes, amen.
That's where we fail the most. It amazes me that when people pray and God answers, they're shocked. Why? Can you believe that? We prayed and God done it. We ought to be amazed. We ought to be utterly amazed that He hears and answers our prayer, but we ought not to be shocked. expected.
Yes.
We ought to be counting it as done. Thank God we have a recourse.
Yes.
I can pray. You know they could come and padlock this church. They could outlaw Christianity in America.
Right.
They could stop us from handing out gospel tracts, witnessing. But there ain't nobody that can stop you from praying. You say, well, they won't let them pray in school anymore. You can pray all you want. You can pray in school all you want. You can bow your head and ask a blessing over your food in the lunchroom, in the cafeteria, at school. Yes, you can. I could lose my voice. Somebody could cut out my tongue, but I can still pray.
Amen.
Amen.
God knows the very thoughts and the intentions of my heart.
Amen.
That's good. Things you learn from a jail cell, you learn right quick that this Christian life ain't a bed of roses. And you learn real quick that when we do hit difficulty, there's something we can do about it.
Amen.
We can pray.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, we ought to be praying. We ought to be praying for camp meeting.
Right.
As a church, we ought to band together and pray. God, show up.
Amen.
God, do something to just change our lives forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Listen, if you're like me, it makes you happy to know your children trust you.
Amen. Amen.
It makes me happy to know that when my children are in trouble, they know they can trust in their dad. And if one of them calls and says, "Dad, I'm in a tight spot and I need a little bit of money," it thrills my heart to be able to give it to them.
That's right. Amen.
I'm glad they had a daddy to go to.
Because
I remember as being a young married couple having those difficult days and not being able to pay the bills and every now and then having to call and say, "Mama." Thank God I had somebody to turn to. How do you think it makes our Heavenly Father feel? When we call Him and say, "Father, got a little problem, facing a little dilemma. I sure could use your help." I believe it thrills His heart to be able to help His children. Amen.
I'm
glad, even though we have restrictions, we have some recourse. And lastly, and I'm done, I'm glad we've got a rescuer. I'm glad we've got one that comes to our rescue. How many times God rescued you? God's rescued me time and time and time again. I remember growing up watching The Lone Ranger and all them shows on TV. It always seemed like the villain would have the little maiden tied up on the railroad track. The trains are coming. Woo-hoo! I mean, just about to get to her and just right in the nick of time. The hero rides in, cuts the rope, rides away with the maiden and saves the day. I don't know how many times God's done that exact same thing in my life. It seemed like there was no way of working to make it. This is the end. Right out of nowhere, He shows up in grace and majesty and power. Hallelujah unto God. Hears and answers our prayers. We ought to shout and give Him glory. Verse number six. And when Herod would have brought Him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping. Now watch this. Peter wasn't doing nothing. Paul and Silas were singing praises in the jail. Peter was asleep. You got to remember, there's a little group over yonder locked up in the house praying for Peter. Peter's asleep. He didn't do nothing. He just went to bed. He was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel parted from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Have you ever come to a spot in your life where you said, whoo, that had to be God? That had to be God. Science couldn't fix it. Medicine couldn't fix it. Psychology couldn't fix it. That had to be God. There's a song that said, he rescues me. Thank God I've got a Savior who rescues me. He's bailed me out time and time and time and time and time again. He's bailed me out so many times I'm ashamed sometimes to call and ask for help. Thank God I've got one who rescues me. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 19, the Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Amen.
Psalm 97 and verse number 10 said, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of the saints and delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Thank God.
Amen.
We've got a rescue. We're not in this thing. I see some of these TV preachers on there commanding the devil. Devil, I command you. You're evil.
Amen.
You are jacked up from the floor up if you think you're going to start ordering Satan around. Y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
I command thee, Lucifer. try it with that freight train when it goes by. You do about as much good. Got no power over Satan. But we've got somebody in heaven that does. Amen. We've got one who rescues us. Then there is a responsibility. A responsibility as a Christian. I'm talking about what we're learning from the jail cell. There's restrictions. There's a recourse. There's a rescue. But man, God's blessing comes with great responsibility.
Amen.
Would you agree with me?
Amen.
Look at verse number number 12. The Bible said when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together to pray. Now, y'all got to imagine this. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran and told how Peter stood before the gate. Can you picture?
Yeah.
She got so excited. Man, here we have been all night praying for Peter. We've been praying for our friend. And here he is. She got so excited she didn't even open the door.
Yeah.
She just left Peter standing out there. She ran back. And when she, verse 14, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Watch this. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Here we are praying that God will deliver our brother. God delivers the brother to the door. They get the news, and here's what they had to say. You're crazy. Peter's in jail. No, she affirmed it over. No, they know he's standing right out there at the gate. You're mad. You're crazy. Lord, give us faith in our prayer.
Amen.
They ought to have responded with something akin to, I knew it.
Amen.
I knew God could do it. And I knew God would do it.
Amen.
Amen. We have a responsibility. What's that responsibility? To report. To tell what God's done. Rhoda got so excited about what God had done, she didn't even open the door. She ran back and said, "Hey, guess what? We ought to be reporting on a normal basis what God's doing. We so tightly up, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves." I wonder how many of you are going to tell somebody where Martin got saved here this morning. Wonder how many of you is going to go to work tomorrow and tell somebody how good God's been in your life.
Amen.
Tell somebody what God's done. Tell somebody how God's blessed. This world, for the most part, looks at Christianity and thinks if that's all it is, I don't want any part of it.
Amen.
We ought to make the gospel of healing.
Right.
Amen. How do you do that? Brag on it. They'll come into work bragging on their party this weekend.
Right, bro.
Go to work bragging on yours.
Amen.
We had a good time in church this morning.
Amen.
Woo!
Right.
Didn't have to worry about getting stopped on the way home.
Amen.
God's been good.
Amen.
God's answered prayers over and over and over and over. Brother Spartan sitting in church this morning. I wondered if we'd ever see him in church again.
Yeah.
And I prayed, God, let him come back here. Let that old man come back to church. He loves his place.
Amen.
He loves his preacher.
Amen.
Boy, and I see God just raised him up.
Woo!
That thrilled my soul.
Amen.
Makes me want to brag on him a little bit. How about you? They told her in verse 15 that she was mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then say they, it's his angel. They just couldn't believe God answered their prayer. Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, watch this, they were what?
Astonished.
Now listen, my mind is blown a lot when I see God move. I stand in wonder and I stand in awe, but I do not want to stand in doubt. I believe he can do anything. After what I've seen, cancer healed. A dad saved after 20-something years of prayer. And we could go on and on and on and on and on and on. I wish I had Brother Shane's book he kept up with 2 years ago, All the Answered Prayer. It's amazing what God can do. I don't want to stand in doubt. I want to stand in belief and expectation. And when God moves, I won't to report what God has done. Why is it so important to report or to tell others what God's done? Listen, it allows people to know. It allows people to know how good your God is. And it allows other Christians an opportunity to praise God with you. Amen. God blesses you. You ought not to keep that to yourself. He was in the prayer room a while ago. Old Brother Jesse said, I ain't got a prayer request, but I got a praise report. He said, I was 50 foot in the air up on the house the other day and my ladder fell off. And you fell, didn't you? Huh? You fell off the house. That's what's wrong with him. Thank God he landed on his head.
Yeah.
He's just praising God that he fell off that house and didn't get killed.
Right.
Or hurt. Right. He said, so what's the big deal? It is a big deal.
Yeah.
And we ought to brag on God. We sit in that prayer room, us men got to say praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. It's important to report what God's done because it allows people to know how good God is. It allows other Christians to praise God with us. Number two, it gives God the credit. You'll never hear this pastor say, look around you at all we've done. You'll never hear me say that.
Amen.
We ain't done nothing.
Amen.
It's all in
him. Amen.
He's just let us in on
it. Amen.
Right. Right. We're just a bunch of wicked sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
We ain't done a thing, but God has done great.
Amen.
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 Who cares who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory?
That's right. Amen.
Some Christians are so fickle. Oh, they've got to be recognized for what they've done. They've got to be bragged on, added on the back. And I understand that to a point. Sometimes it's easy to let it slip through the cracks. But here's what our desire ought to be. That God get the credit. And that God get the glory. We don't serve Him. And we don't work around here and do what we do for our glory. We do it for the glory of God. Amen. Got a great responsibility. Just some stuff tonight. I just thought of Lover's Chapter. I was reading at the hotel the other day. I thought, man, I'm going to preach on that Sunday night. The Lord will let me. What we learned from the jail cell. This Christian life comes with restrictions. Hard things. I'll be honest with you. I've been in this thing long enough to tell you that they're worth it.
Right. Amen.
Every one of them difficulties, every one of those trials that we've been through, it's worth it.
Amen.
Wouldn't take nothing at all. As an old song says, wouldn't take nothing from a journey now.
Amen.
We just twisted that thing around when we was kids. We used to sing, wouldn't take nothing from a Jersey cab. Y'all heard that? Wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. There's a song that says, it will be worth it all.
Amen.
When we see Jesus. There's some restrictions, but thank God they're not without recourse. There's something we can do when trouble, trial, and testing comes. We can pray. We can pray. And I'm glad we learned in Peter's jail, we have a rescue, and His name's Jesus. And we have a responsibility to tell others what He's done. Let's stand up.